Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The eternal life. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Life. This program is brought to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our play today, entitled Chronicle of the Dead, was written for radio by Milton Wayne and is based on the book Experiment E by Leon Chalet. Featured in the cast is Juano Hernandez as prisoner number 9335.
Greatest and strangest criminal trial in history is ended. The 284 long days of prosecution and defense are over. On Monday next, in the International Palace of Justice in Nuremberg, Germany, 21 Nazi leaders will stand to receive the verdict of the world. The charge is murder.
Chronicle of the Dead was one item in the massed, blood-drenched pages of accusation.
The prisoner, Jew, number 9335, Block 38, Wing A, Sachsenhausen concentration camp, reports himself present.
Your name, sir?
My name? Yes, I had a name, and it was taken from me. And now I have it again. Chalet, Your Honor. Heim Leib Chalet.
Come forward and be seated, Herr Chalet.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You have testimony to present before this world court?
This is the fulfillment of a vow. From the moment of my arrival in Sachsenhausen, I resolved that I would remember everything. If I ever would escape, I would tell what I had seen. I lived for this day of reckoning. I ask that what I have to tell be cast into the balance.
You may begin your testimony.
What I have to tell is not only of beatings and tortures and murders, for of these matters you have heard much and often, but I wish to tell also of what men can and cannot do when they must do something or die, of what men can bear when their spirit and faith are strong. I shall begin. It was August 1939. The shadow of war lay over Berlin. In wartime, every man belongs in his home. My home was Poland. On the morning of Saturday, August 26th, I went to the Polish consulate. My daughter Gucha was with me. The waiting room was filled with anxiety. For a long time, no one paid any attention to us. Then a minor official came in. Each word was an effort.
Everyone must act according to his own judgment. The situation is very grave. That is all I can say.
Silently, we left the consulate.
Father, what do you think?
Think? About what, Gucci?
The evening train for Warsaw?
It may not get across the frontier. Goebbels has stirred up the people against the Polish atrocities.
And if we stay here, we'll be interned.
We had too much faith that there would be peace. Our friends who left last week were right.
Father, there's still a way out. We can fly to London.
A dream, my daughter.
Why?
Because we have no English visas. The British consulate has been closed for several days.
But, Father, yesterday Poland and England concluded a defensive alliance. And we do have passports.
For Poland, not for England.
I know, Father, but do you think that England will turn away Poles cut off from their own country?
Yes, there is a frail hope.
A real hope. You have been to England many times. You have done business there. And even if they don't let us stay, we can get to Poland by way of Scandinavia. Father, you must go for airplane tickets at once.
On Sunday, August 27th, at 6 p.m., I flew from Berlin to England. The English immigration officers ordered me sent back to Germany. On Monday, August 28th, at 2:30 p.m., in the same plane, I landed back in Berlin again. For 3 days, I was held in jail and questioned over and over again. On the fourth day, Thursday, August 31st, at 4 p.m., I was released. In the gray dawn that followed, Hitler's armies attacked Poland. My daughter Gutja and I became enemy aliens. And on September 13th at 5:30 a.m., I was arrested. At 7:30, the Poles who had been rounded up were taken from the police station and packed into a truck. The police assisted with truncheons and rifle butts. Around the truck stood a crowd of women and working men and children from a nearby school. In the front row stood Gutja. When she saw me in the truck, she dodged around the policeman and ran up close.
Head high, Papa.
The truck began to move. As we drove down the street, I heard her voice again.
Head high, Papa. Do you hear me? Head high.
At the Oranienburg station, we were clubbed out of the train. The road to the concentration camp was 2 miles long, strewn with our dead and injured. Patrol cars gathered up the victims. Dead or alive, the total number of prisoners had to be delivered. In Germany, order prevailed.
Prisoners are all accounted for.
Ja, Herr Kommandant.
Good. I shall bid them welcome. I must commend you, Friedrich. The corpses are piled most neatly.
Thank you, Herr Kommandant.
Yes, indeed. Ruthless, but neat.
Swine, here in Sachsenhausen, you are not in a penitentiary or a prison. You're in a place of instruction. Order and discipline are here the highest law. If you ever want to see freedom again, you must submit to severe training. Here there's no compromise, no mercy. Here we sweep with an iron broom. Dismissed.
We were clubbed to our barracks. 30 graves in a cemetery occupy the same space which, in our barracks, was assigned to 165 living men. That night, the block Führers visited us. They were armed with steel rods and clubs and boards. 7 men died that night, our first in Sachsenhausen.
Stop that crying. Don't be martyrs. Don't let them break your spirit.
If we had any spirit, we'd take our own lives.
No, that's what they want. Not our lives, because then they could have shot us against the wall.
There are dead men in this room. You saw them die.
The Nazis want the pleasure of torturing us, of gloating over our pain, of watching our spirits break.
I can't see in this darkness, comrade, but you're right. Although we are victims every day, we must not offer ourselves as victims. We must not give up our hope. Hope is the greatest treasure a man possesses. Faith in God is the key to it. Enough of tears, comrades, enough.
At evening roll call the next day, the block Führers and the ranking SS officers came to look over the Polish assassins. They commented with pleasure on our bloody faces. Then began the torture that drew no blood.
Which of you is a rabbi? What? Is there no rabbi among you? Room senior, which of these swine is a rabbi?
I don't know, Herr Blockfuhrer.
All right, then. There's no rabbi here. But if I find out that you've lied, we'll make short work of you. Which of you has ever been in prison? Huh. Now, speak up and tell the reason.
Embezzlement, Herr Blockfuhrer.
An automobile accident, Herr Blockfuhrer.
Of course you know that all Poles are criminals, don't you?
We held our breath. Our throats went dry with fear. The stillness was uncanny. The Blockfuhrer waited motionless. Suddenly, he raised both fists.
What? You won't answer, you swine, you dog, scum?
In each of us, pride struggled with the instinct of self-preservation. In a few moments, they would leap and trample us beneath their boots.
Answer me!
Yeah,
all of you answer!
Yeah,
all the shame and torture that had been inflicted on us, all our misery, all our anguish, found release in that cry.
Now, all of you repeat three times. All Poles are criminals. Together and loud.
The law of the concentration camp was all for one. If we did not answer, the punishment would fall on all three Polish blocks, on some 800 human beings. As if each of us had arrived at the same conclusion, the cry rang through the camp.
All Poles are criminals. All Poles are criminals. All Poles are criminals.
Finally, we were hounded back into the barrack. It was pitch dark. We found our straw sacks and laid them out on the floor. It was too late for bread and soup. Each groped his way to his own place. The day had been hot, and now the air in the barrack was close and oppressive. The room was so crowded that we had to lie on our sides, our bodies pressed against each other. Sweat, breath, and body smells mixed together. But all the windows and doors remained tightly shut. We were too tired to moan or weep. There was a blessed stillness in that death room.
Block 38, present for roll call. 223 men. 7 dead.
7 dead? That's too few. A little hot today, eh, Balls? But that's nothing. In the winter, you make up for it by freezing.
9 dead, Herr Blockfuhrer.
Only 9? Dogs are croaking too slow. Move 2 of the Polish wings in together. Perhaps we can speed up the smothering of the vermin.
23 dead, Herr Blockfuhrer.
That's better. We must help nature along. Much better.
The evening of our 9th day in Sachsenhausen was the beginning of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, holiest day in the year, the day for which we prepare in prayer and penance. But in the camp, praying was strictly forbidden and cruelly punished. Of course, a man can carry God in his heart and pray silently, alone. But our souls hungered for comfort of the spoken words of the prayer with which we had grown up. Grief and depression held us with a force we had not felt before. Only our gasping for breath showed there was any life left in us.
Achtung! Block 38, all present, Herr Blockfuhrer.
Swine, what holiday do you keep today?
The Day of Atonement.
You there, you with the closed eye, step forward. Tell me, dog, what does this Day of Atonement mean?
On the Day of Atonement, a Jew must earn the forgiveness of his fellow men against whom he may have sinned. A Jew must fast, do penance, and pray for forgiveness of all the sins he has knowingly or unknowingly committed.
So the hogs must fast. Good. Tomorrow you'll get no food so you can celebrate properly. And now we shall help you do penance. Not a sound out of you or you'll be shot. We'll be back later.
No, you must not cry.
We must show them how much men can bear when their spirit and their faith are strong. It has always been the way of our fathers to put spirit above matter. We must do the same. This is our duty. But hope is ours, too. Are we not in God's hands even here? Cast away doubt, for doubt destroys you. Build not on your own reason, for it must fail here. Only hold fast to your truth in God and believe, for faith makes men strong.
The room was heavy with pain and silence. The moon shone through the window. In that white dead light we lay like corpses. All at once the oppressive silence was broken by the mournful ancient Kol Nidre, prayer for the Day of Atonement. I raised myself up, and I saw there, close to the wall, the uplifted face of an old man. Softly, to himself, he sang the familiar, deeply moving words. The corpses came to life. Quietly, they sat up. All eyes turned to the moonlit face. Suddenly, I heard again the voice of my daughter.
Head high, Papa. Do you hear me? Head high. Head high.
Now there was a silent, soaring exultation among us, which men can experience only when they have fallen as low as we had fallen, and then, through the power of a deathless prayer, have awakened once more to the world of the spirit. At midnight, as they had promised, the Blockführers came again. They left 5 dead. Days of bestial cruelties, of agonized deaths. And then, on the 17th day...
Achtung! My name is Carl. I'm the new room senior of Block 38. I know what it's like. Keep calm and try to maintain discipline. Have eyes in the back of your heads, for here danger is everywhere. I'll be back later.
A human being. They sent us a human being.
From thankfulness and wretchedness, we began to cry like children. There was no shame.
But how can it be? What has happened?
There must be a reason. Perhaps the death list of the Polish prisoners has made some foreign journalist ask questions in Berlin. Perhaps that is the reason.
Then the change won't last long. What will happen now?
Yes, now. What will happen now?
I think I know what you've been asking. You will remain isolated. You will not be sent to work. And you must spend the whole day inside the barrack. From today on, you're to sit cross-legged instead of lying on your faces. Appoint a foreman to keep order. It'll save you from unnecessary punishment. Seat yourself so that when you jump up at Achtung, straight rows will be formed at once. The more military your behavior, the better you'll get on.
But we're civilian prisoners.
Of course. Of course, so am I. My education period has lasted since 1935. I was a worker who hated the Nazis. I'm still being educated. I'm no hero, but I shall do what I can.
As the Blockführers paid us only casual visits, then they resumed operations, at first only beatings. Then it became murder in the old style. It reached a climax on October 6, 1939, when the Allies ignored Hitler's peace offer. Most of us were already asleep when Carl suddenly opened the door.
Achtung!
Rushed into the room and assembled in the middle. They carried implements of murder.
The whole Polish pack! Form a circle and run!
Quickly, we formed a circle. There was not room enough to run, so we pushed, shoved, and struck each other as we went around. And in the middle of the circle, our tormentors set the pace with their weapons. When enough men lay trampled or beaten to death on the floor, the horde disappeared. The circus act was repeated in the other 2 Polish blocks. Then Carl came in.
Always remember this. In the struggle between man and beast, man in spite of torture and death, man in the long run is victorious.
Have you finished your speech, Carl?
I have finished, Herr Blockführer.
Good. I dislike to think I interrupted. But since you say you have finished, let us make sure you'll have nothing more to say.
And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, by thy blood thou wilt live. Yea, I said unto thee, by thy blood thou wilt live.
Days and weeks and months of torture, starvation, and death. Days of miracle that some still lived. Days of miracle in which three men were released from death to leave Germany for a neutral country. And the hope of this miracle became the staff on which I leaned. Perhaps through my daughter, this true miracle of release would one day come to me. And the days of darkness and death bore down on us. 219 days.
Charlie! Number 9335!
Here!
Quick, to the political division. Follow me.
The prisoner, Jew, number 9335, Block 38, Wing A, reports himself present.
Go in there!
I went up to the door and opened it. One thought kept going through my mind. The report. Make a correct report. I stepped over the threshold. I opened my mouth. An hallucination rose before me, and I couldn't speak. In the middle of the room, I saw my daughter. I must pull myself together. This is the office of the Gestapo political director. I must make my report. The prisoner, Jew. I knew exactly how it went, but I couldn't bring it out. The apparition was moving toward me.
Good morning, Papa. I have come to bring you good news.
After the First World War, a stricken world built a monument to the unknown soldier. Now the world must build a monument to the unknown martyr. Within the hearts of men, a light must burn eternally for the nameless millions who suffered and perished in the cities, villages, ghettos, and concentration camps of this tormented world.
And now, we present a talk by Rabbi Irving Miller of the Congregation Sons of Israel of Whitmere, Long Island. Rabbi Miller.
That fateful Day of Atonement, about which you have just heard, and every day, were a matter of life and death to the prisoners of the Nazis. So do the High Holy Days speak to Jews everywhere of life and death. Indeed, the most poignant prayer of the New Year's Day and of the Day of Atonement reads, on the New Year's Day it is inscribed, and on the Day of Atonement the decree is sealed, who shall live and who shall die. On these days of judgment, man acknowledges God himself to be the supreme judge. And yet from the beginning of time, man has assumed this aspect of divinity and has undertaken to pass the judgment of life and death on his fellow men. In recent years, this judgment has been bestial. Happily, those cruel judges who knew neither justice nor mercy have been destroyed. At this very moment, in the city of Nuremberg, civilization is about to render its final verdict upon them. Yet our task is far from finished. To my fellow Jews, may I say, you will be judged by God and man in accordance with the measure in which you labor zealously to bring life and the blessings of life to your people here, abroad, and in Palestine. to all men of goodwill everywhere, may I say, all men are judged, not on one day of the year, but on all days, by the manner in which we earn the forgiveness of those of our fellow men against whom we may have sinned. All of us have sinned against men and women throughout the world whom we have allowed to suffer the ravages of war, of racial discrimination, of poverty, and of ignorance. Against people whom we have permitted to remain homeless. Against people whom we have denied the opportunity to begin life anew. Against people who more than a year after victory we permit to languish in the concentration camps of Europe. Humbly do I pray for a truly happy and peaceful new year, not only for my people, but for all people. May we all, as free people, enjoy the blessings of freedom in a free world.
Thank you, Rabbi Miller.
Written by Milton Wayne and was based on Leon Chalet's book, Experiment E. The music was composed by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical music. Featured as prisoner number 9335 was Juano Hernandez. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. Beginning the week of September 29th, this program will be heard at a new hour. Please consult your local station's program schedule for the new time. This program is a weekly presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations, and comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.